AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Our host, Mark Kelly, brings you the leading minds in AI, sharing their story, their success, and their advice. Focusing on fast-tracking you to the top, AI in Action cuts through the hype to help you kickstart your data science career. To listen to the latest AI in Action podcast, head over to www.aulis.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts.
Hello, welcome to the Aulis podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer at Aulis International. In today's podcast, as part of our AI in Action series, I'm delighted to welcome our guest today, who is Dr. Tim Still. Dr. Tim is Head of AI Solutions at Swartz IT. Dr. Tim, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Mark.
So let's find out a little bit more about yourself, and how did you get into the world of AI?
So I've been with Schwarzkopf for more than 5 years now. And since I started, I've helped to build the data science and AI structures essentially from ground. However, before that time, I had a different background. So my background is in physics and chemistry. I got a PhD in physical chemistry a long time ago and then went to Philadelphia for a few years. And I worked there as a postdoc in a field called soft condensed matter, so not really AI. In that time, I also came into contact with machine learning for one specific scientific study led by two colleagues. But to be honest, I was only marginally concerned with AI for most of that time. Just in case someone is interested, back then, we used support vector machines to predict where so-called colloidal classes rearrange. That is a topic that's not very familiar to most people in AI, but it's quite interesting because you could learn from statistic and static geometrical information about the local dynamic property of those materials. So that was essentially basic research. Anyway, so after 5 years in the States, I decided to leave academia, and I decided to do something different instead of working as a, for example, polymer chemist, which would probably be in the most likely career given my scientific background. So I joined Lidl International, which is part of the Schwarz Group, as a data scientist. At a time when the first data science team was just built. Actually, I was the second data scientist hired for entire Lidl back then. And I guess back then, 5.5 years ago, at least in Europe, data science was not as ubiquitous as it is today. So you could enter the field more easily as an outsider, much more easily than it would be today. And then what I quickly realized back then, and which I believe it isn't almost universal truth, is that the most important aspect in actually getting anything out of AI is very good business understanding, right? In particular, in a business like retail, which is not your typical tech business, you need to understand processes so you can guide the business in the right direction. I mean, all technical efforts are in vain if you fail to understand the business process in its entire complexity. And the reason I think this might be particularly challenging in retail is because the management there is usually super practical and hands-on and everything, but not necessarily the type of people that would typically decompose a process into, well, let's say, an abstract set of rules. I haven't done, to be honest, I haven't done the job in, let's say, automotive or in the chemical industry, but I assume that part might be easier with engineers or STEM-based people, you know, this abstract or abstraction layer, right? But I quickly moved into a team lead role, and when Schwarz IT was founded within Schwarz Group, my team and I got part of the group-wide AI department, in which I became the head of AI solutions. And what we do in that department is we build data products.
Tim, there's a few points that you said that we could actually have separate podcast discussions on, but really, really interesting. So data science really does allow you to become very business focused and look at the things from a business perspective, where you might be thinking more from the technical perspective, but the data scientists that I know who are very, very effective, they become very, very good around developing business acumen.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a must. There are only very few businesses where the use case is very well defined, right? So like if you want to do an online retail, conversion rate, right? That's a solved thing for most cases, and you know exactly what to do. But if you want to improve, let's say, logistic, or you want to improve the supply chain in its entirety, that's a whole different thing, and you have to learn a lot about the business.
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of ties us in nicely to the Swartz Group and how you're going about leveraging AI.
So maybe people don't even know what the Swartz Group is. So most people, at least in Europe, know Lidl or Kaufland, depending if you're more in the West or anywhere actually, or in the East, where Kaufland is big. So those are two big retail companies. Actually, we are the largest retailer in Europe and number four or five in the world. But besides that, the Swartz Group is a kind of cooperation with other activities along the entire value chain. So we have production, for example, we have a coffee roastery. We have one of the largest plants for sparkling water and lemonade and things like that, ice cream, bakery goods, and so on. We have our own logistics. We have even our own recycling company. And we recently started doing cloud hosting. So we have our own public cloud. And in the entire Swartz Group, which has like 500,000 people working for it, there's one central IT. This is us, Swartz IT, a solution-driven organization generating synergies between branches, between Lidl, Kaufland, and so on. And that Swartz IT was only founded in 2019. So before that, I was part of the Lidl International IT, but the Lidl IT and the Kaufland IT and the holding IT just merged into this one central Swartz IT organization with about 4,000 people at the moment and growing. So what we do at AI is we have the brand specific business consulting. Like there's a business consulting AI for Lidl, one for Kaufland and so on, but there's only one solutions department, which is my department. And in this AI solutions department, we are strongly product oriented. So what are we doing? We build software. And I guess we may talk a little more about this point later on. We have a clear product life cycle and a process that includes a clear cost benefit estimation. People say that 85% or whatever of machine learning projects never make it into production. And that's definitely not true for us. So that the advantages that we have is we have very similar problems at the two retail branches. Right. So like at Kaufland, the challenges are somewhat the same as at Lidl. Also, there are significant differences in the IT infrastructure. So we combine the business knowledge from both branches and we merge it with software and IT competence. And we have all interfaces in one place.
You know what? Depending on who you talk to, it goes 80 to 94% of projects are making it into production. And when you kind of delve a little bit deeper into that, a lot of the projects don't have the impact. So there's no point in actually just continuing with them. And then the other side of it is that there's these kind of popcorn projects where they're just popping around everywhere. And then people's focus gets diluted. And consequently, people change roles, you get lack of investment, inaccessibility to the data, senior management don't want to put the further investment in terms of the resources. And also, it can be quite a challenging data journey if your data isn't fit for purpose. Sometimes it can be 18 months. That's a lot of time for data scientists not necessarily to be doing their craft and really kind of understanding the work that has to go in the background. So where you guys, you've got very, very clear goals and metrics that you want to prove all the time. So I'm sure your kind of North Star is very, very clear for everyone to see. Tell us about some of the more challenging projects you need to focus on.
Before bragging too much, I wouldn't say that all our ideas work out, but the simple truth is that we are involved mostly once an idea is in a state that we can think about it on an economic level and then decide, do we want to go that road or not? And once we decide, okay, this is something that's worth to do, we do a proof of concept and a proof of value. And most of the time, since we already have to select which projects to follow, those projects will eventually go into production. Right? That's why the percentage is higher. It doesn't mean that there are no other people in the departments or whatever that come up with an idea that never see the light of reality. But back to your question about the most challenging challenge in use cases. I guess in terms of AI or machine learning, we've been working with a wide variety of use cases, some requiring some requiring image recognition, for example, for production. Those are not in production yet. So for the plants, we are just developing them. Some dealing with natural language processing. For example, we built a small service that automatically reads out and handles specific insurance-related documents that, for some legal reason I don't fully understand, are still paper-based, right? Or other things in the context of the coffee roasting facility, where we want to detect if the coffee packaging is good or the quality of the coffee beans when they are delivered to the roastery. However, I guess the most important use cases for mainly brick and mortar retailer, as we are, right? We do have significant online business, but still it's like 1 or 2% of our entire revenue. So brick and mortar is still what we're mostly talking about if we talk about revenue and profit, right? And a lot of the things we're doing are more in the realm of classical forecasting. Now, what we have found the most challenging part of any AI product, regardless of the complexity of the model, is to understand and improve the actual business processes so that we can generate real, not just theoretical revenue. And in fact, this might be very well true for most successful big international companies in most industries. The processes at Schwarz, even without AI, are very efficient, right? I mean, there's some kind of survivorship bias, I guess. You only get big if your processes are good. And they are even tailored to the individual countries. Let's say Lidl figured out how to do the best supply chain management or the best ordering in the warehouse. But there might be differences due to geography or whatever suppliers that are different between Lidl Bulgaria and Lidl Portugal, for example. So they allow to tweak the processes in the country. And that makes them pretty, pretty good already. So if you build an AI that does anything in a specific field, you need to be better than the actual people doing it. And that's a hard task, actually. Something we are currently doing is that's a very big project, is the automatic disposition for stores. Right. So I'm not sure if you had some of the people in your podcast already. There are several companies, external companies, offering just this as a service. And that's not because it's easy, but because it's hard and extremely relevant. Right. So imagine we have like 13,000 or 14,000 stores in total. If in every store the people spend several hours a day with manual ordering, and for disposition, that is a lot of money simply for the work hours, right? So you don't even need to improve anything. And we are, of course, haven't the goal to improve the ordering, but you don't need to improve anything in order to generate revenue just by automatizing it with AI and machine learning. And another thing is dynamic pricing for in and out items. So in and out items are those surprises you see at Lidl or at Kaufland. At Lidl, for example, in the middle rows usually might be a drilling machine and baby t-shirts, and next week is, I don't know, whatever, a coffee machine. And those items are super important for our business because they have a pretty good margin. However, we don't have the space to keep them in the stores for an unlimited time, right? So we have to sell them within, I don't know, 30 days, 40 days, depends on the country rules, in order to make space for the next items. And then one thing that I like to talk about a little bit, because I think it's an important use case, is the bakery, the bake-off optimization, as we call it. So if you enter Lidl or Kaufland, you're greeted by an in-store bakery with a whole bunch of freshly baked breads, rolls, danish, and so on. However, those things are not fully baked, right? They are pre-baked, and we put them in the oven for like 15 minutes, and then we can offer them. It's not straightforward, however, to decide when to bake how much of which product. It's pretty straightforward. If you run out of stock, your customers won't be happy. At the same time, if you bake too much, you have to throw the stuff away or give it as we often do, give it to charity by the end of the day. Still, then it's not just the revenue that's lost, but you lose the product as well because you really cannot sell it the next day. So it's not just a question of profit, it's also a question of sustainability. And with AI and forecasting, essentially, we can make much better bake-off programs here.
Yeah, and Tim, I think for people that haven't worked in the industry, and I've worked in the industry at the start of my career, how fanatical people are about having the best possible products at the best possible price on time for their customers. And the ball never stops. It just keeps going and going and going as a North Star. And it really surprised me in some ways how consistent the growth has been, because you're rolling out some of these improvements to maybe 11 to 12,000 stores, and then the value chain just keeps increasing as well. And to have AI involved in the process to try to improve it once again, it's really good. And the customers start to get an additional service that they're not even aware of because of what's happening in the background. And so many different moving parts as well, which is kind of incredible to see with how complicated that supply chain can get at any one time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. There's a lot going on. To be honest, you could solve some of those issues, for example, the bake-off optimization, just by pure workforce, right? So if you just send one person in the store to check the rolls and the breads and whatever every hour, then you could do it manually. But even then, it's not that easy because you have to optimize so many other things. It's not just the prediction, how much will I need, but also you have to fill the oven, right? If you start a half-filled oven, then you waste energy. Again, sustainability and costs. Or you cannot put all kinds of bread together in one oven because one takes 12 minutes, the next takes 15 minutes or different temperatures, something like that. So it's somewhat much more complex than you think about it in the first place.
You're listening to the Aldis podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, if you're interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com. Tim, in your opinion, what are some of the main challenges you faced bringing AI to production? Because there's at least three or four of them.
I mean, the obvious thing probably is data quality, right? So everyone working in data and AI knows that issue. Data quality is a big deal, and you need high quality data to get decent predictions, forecasts, recommendations. And there are different kinds of data, like transaction data, for example. Let's take the receipt line in a store. This is usually highly automated and thus of high quality. We almost never have problems with receipt line data. But when you think, for example, about category management problems, right? Your models typically need high accuracy information about the products we are investigating, master data, metadata, things like that. And the established process, however, rely heavily on the acquired knowledge of the people in the purchasing department. Why is that? Often they involve manual entries in some database, right? And often enough, it's not even a database, it's actually Excel, and someone puts that Excel more or less semi-automatically into a database at some point in time, or not, right? And in such cases, it's challenging to convince the colleagues that it will be well worth their effort to take care for well-maintained master data. And this happens over time, since we can offer them, look, we can automatize, we can help you with the process, we can improve your ordering and so on, and your assortment. But in order to do this, we need to have good information. So it's improving, but that this is something you have to really teach and explain to colleagues. And the second challenge that I said before, I think we are dealing with very good handcrafted and oftentimes locally adapted processes, and those are not trivial to beat. Third challenge, software development abilities. And I said in the very beginning, we are building data products, but I didn't define the term. So to me, a data product is essentially a piece of software that uses AI machine learning in order to improve some operational processes. And that means, of course, we have to build software with all the consequences for what we require from our professionals. May they be coded as data scientists, data engineers, software developers, right? They all need to be able to build software. And this might be a somewhat trivial thing for a new tech startup. However, we are in a situation that only a very few years ago, sad, I started 5.5 years ago at Lidl, we had to convince the departments that AI generates any significant benefit for the business. And of course, back then, the people we needed in that phase had a much greater focus on business understanding, advanced analytics, machine learning skills than on software engineering. Right. So in the meantime, of course, new people joined the team and colleagues that were with us from the start greatly improved the skill set also towards software engineering. Nevertheless, to build consistently high quality software, as well as recruiting the people that can further advance your team, this remains a challenge. And maybe in a similar way, in the a fourth challenge is process integration, right? So if you want to showcase your result, I guess these neat little front-end apps that people like to show on conferences, they are neat. And they are nice to show something to the customer. But if you want to build value, you want to generate value, what you need to be part of is part of the operative system. Right, and this includes everything from operations to support to reliability, scalability. And at Schwarz, we are facing a complex system landscape. And this is probably also true for most large corporations. Right, there are even significant differences between Lidl and Kaufland. For example, Kaufland is heavily focused on SAP, whereas Lidl is not. So you can imagine it's not like setting up some generic microservice to integrate all the products, but we have to find individual solutions, and all of them must be safe, reliable, performant, and easy to operate, which goes back to the third challenge, software development abilities, I guess.
Yeah, one of the main reasons for kind of projects failing is integration. Process integration actually is very, very important. So in summary, data quality, handcrafted, not trivial to be the adaptive processes that are very, very, you need to make sure they're locally adapted. Software development abilities, and then process integration. So there's a variety there, just to be very, very mindful. And then depending on the context, some can be more challenging than others as well. So what advice would you give to aspiring data professionals on their career and the trends you're seeing for hiring in AI?
Let's start with machine learning students. So many of them apply for different positions, not just data scientist positions. And in my humble opinion, from many interviews I had in the last years, there's, for me, too much focus on deep learning for NLP and image recognition. And don't get me wrong, those things are super important. And those are mighty tools. And if you want to go into self-driving cars and automotive or whatever, this is exactly what you need. However, for many other industries, classical machine learning, forecasting are at least equally important. And I also think there's not enough focus on business understanding, feature engineering, and those classical machine learning techniques. And then since we talked about machine learning students, for other people aspiring to become a data professional, I think there's often too much focus on machine learning, data, deep learning in general, and not enough on engineering. And probably you saw that in your company, that there are way more engineers searched for right now than data scientists, I think, right? I still have the feeling that some salespeople tend to believe that, for example, Jupyter Notebooks are used to develop software, but they are not, right? And also everyone in data science is using Python, but so many aspiring data scientists have never bothered to learn about the principles of, let's say, object-oriented programming. I mean, I did neither when I used Python in science, because I wrote scripts to do something and only I had to run them, and maybe one or two of my colleagues if they wanted to reproduce a paper, but this is very different from software engineering, right? So even, or especially as a data scientist, if you're also a good or decent software engineer, you will set apart yourself from the crowd. And there are so many industry positions that are looking for you. Whereas being the co-author of the latest paper on whatsoever bird, unless you go exactly into that direction, doesn't help you that much for many industries. And then my probably last thought or advice, my feeling is that machine learning seems to become more and more commodity, right? There are so many auto ML tools, and only a few years ago, they weren't that effective. We are mostly not using them even right now, but the path is very clear. So I think in a few years, getting a machine learning model, if you can describe the task and the goal, will be somewhat of commodity and not require that much work. However, I don't see this to happen for the software development process anytime soon. So I guess it's a clear advice. Focus on the engineering part.
Tim, thank you very much for your time today. You've been listening to the Aldus podcast as part of our AI in Action podcast series. I've been speaking to Dr. Tim Steele, Head of AI Solutions at Swartz IT.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
AI in Action is brought to you by Aldus International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Aldus offer an exec search program. Aldus can help you discover how data science and AI can transform your company. With our unrivaled network of C-suite executives and senior AI professionals, we offer retained search services across the US and Europe. For more information, contact mark@aldus.com. Get the Aldus Advantage. Become a member of the Aldus community and enjoy some of the following. AI meetups. Once a month, our community gathers to listen to some of the leading experts in the world of data science and AI. Our speakers come from all over the world, including Dublin, Boston, and Frankfurt. We also have our AI mentors. Our experts will provide mentoring to Aldus members. And don't forget our AI in Action podcast. Each week, we have guests from all over the world talking us through their education, career, and more. Become an Aldus member and get the Aldus Advantage. For more information and to sign up for our newsletter, log on to www.aldus.com. That's www.aldus.com. Aldus International, empowering through AI.